as I said, brought a wonderful lesson last week on the whole armor of God. I'll just make a few points concerning that, that this armor is given to us by God. It takes determination, first of all, to wear the armor. That means that we're not fearful, that we are ready to face the enemy, that we are ready to battle for the cause of Christ Jesus. It takes courage to really use the armor, not just wearing it, but to enter into the fray. And we are protected from the frontal attack by evil with the armor that is given. But in this armor that is given to us, there's not the protection from behind. Could be for several reasons, but we're going to be exploring that as we look at this particular thought. What about our backs? What about our backs? You know, I think back to 2 Kings, the 6th chapter, verses 15 through 17. And this is, I'm sure as everyone remembers, this is the account where the king of Syria has determined to come and take Israel. And every time that the king of Israel comes to fight, the king of Syria comes to fight against Israel, well, the soldiers have abandoned the area. The plans are already known. And it happened several times. And the king questions, how is this taking place? And one of his servants said to him, one of his generals said to him, well, it is that prophet that is in Israel, speaking of Elisha. He knows our plans. He's giving those plans then to the king of Israel and to his armies so that they are not attacked by surprise. And so the king of Syria says, well, we need to take care of this prophet that is in Israel. So they travel from Syria down to the house, to the very house where Elisha and his servant live. And we have here that whenever they wake in the morning, that is Elisha and his servant, they wake in the morning, his servant looks out and he sees the whole army of Syria that is about ready to attack this one little house that they're in. And he cries out, what shall we do? Alas, my master, what shall we do? Because the army surrounding the city with horses and chariots and the appearance of there is no hope, we are now caught, we will be destroyed by the enemy. Elisha replies to him in verse 16 of 2 Kings, the 6th chapter. He says, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And you might think about those words that were stated at that time. And here you have two people in this house. You have the servant and Elisha. There's only two of us here. Elisha, how in the world can you say that there are more with us than there are with them? How could you possibly say that? And in verse 17, Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man. He saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. It was a vision that came forth, and it came forth for a purpose. It came forth for a purpose for this young man, who was the servant of Elisha, to see that even when we consider ourselves to be alone, oh, we're not. Not if we're God's servants. As a matter of fact, there's more protection than ever. Our backs are covered, in essence. God has our backs. And that vision showed to this young man, as it should show to us, that when there appears to be despair, when there appears as though the rightful response to what we see is fear, that there really is none if we're children of God. If we're wearing that armor, we'll be, and that armor was given to us to use. If we're wearing that armor, we can take care of everything that comes before us. And then everything that does not come before us, well, then our backs are covered. I think we're going to see that as we continue on. One of the ways that our backs is covered is we're protected by our brethren. I remember when I was an hourly employee out at the mine that there was an intent by the company to contract out some of the work that we were doing. And I wanted to keep that work. I felt as though the more work we kept, it made our jobs more secure. And I talked to some of the other welders and mechanics that were there, and I said, you know, wouldn't you like to keep this? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And I can't tell you how many of them said, we've got your back. Why don't you go ahead and present that? And so there was a meeting that was presented where I presented that. The bosses actually allowed that to take place and said, there's been a proposal. It's been brought forth by one of you to where, if you want to, we'll take a vote on it and we'll keep the work for you if you want to do that. And the manager says, now who all would like to keep this work? Raise your hand. Man, my hand went up. I was right in the front row. And then the manager started laughing. I didn't know why he was laughing. I turned around and looked at all my compadres. Not one hand was up. Oh, we've got your back. And that's the way that it is in the world. That's the way that it is in the world. We're right behind you, way, way behind you. And that happens quite often, but not with God. And not whenever brethren stand back to back. Because then there's protection. You think about it from 1 Peter 5, verses 8 and 9. Be sober, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour, whom withstand steadfast in your faith, knowing that the same suffering are accomplished in your brethren who are in the world. Lions don't attack from the front. Prey animals don't do that. They attack unawares. And when we all stand together, because this is taking place, not just to us, but it takes place to everyone. I'm talking about us just individually, but to everyone that is a child of God. There's a way to protect that back and to truly be having the back of our brethren and standing for the truth. You think about it from the standpoint, and I'll use 1 Timothy the 3rd chapter when it comes on down to the qualification of deacons. That they stand for the truth. And it's not just for them. We see that mentioned quite often in connection with all children of God that Paul gives that admonition to. And not only Paul, but also Peter gives that admonition. Stand. Stand. And stand together. Stand together. And so one of the ways of protecting our back is we stand back to back as children of God. And we stand for the cause of Christ. And when we do that, well, then we have all sides covered. We have all sides covered. How do we protect? By teaching one another is protection. By teaching one another. When we look at 1 Timothy 3 and verse 2, speaking about elders, an elder must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able or apt to teach. And the reason for that is protection. That when there is ignorance, when there's a lack of knowledge, then there is no protection. As a matter of fact, Hosea says in the 4th chapter in verse 6, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And the reason being is that ignorance set in. And they forget about the wiles of the devil. They forget about the devices that Satan has put forth in order to trip us up, in order to have us be defeated in the battle. But by teaching one another is a way that we have our backs. Paul mentioned in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 2, that faithful Christians teach other faithful Christians God's will. And that is having one another's back in the realm of teaching. But not only that, also holding the truth. And this holding the truth is not talking about holding the Bible, but it's holding within your heart, within your mind, within your attitude, God's word. And in 1 Timothy 3 and verse 9, holding the mystery of faith with a pure conscience. So that there's not misapplication, so that there is an understanding of God's will, but we hold that in our hearts and in our minds and in our attitudes to show forth what truly is truth. And we look to God for that. We also see that another way that our backs are covered is for one another, is admonishing one another. We look over in Romans 15, verse 14. I myself am confident concerning you, my brethren, Paul says, that you are also full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. And that admonishing one another entails not only that teaching, but at times also the comforting and the correcting that takes place whenever it's needed. And when we do that, we have one another's back, because we're not just concerned about myself. You know, everybody, you're on your own is not the attitude of a child of God. We're in it together in order, hopefully, to have the same goal, and that's making it to heaven. And so we have our backs by admonishing one another, and by being servants to one another. And we look over in Galatians 5 verse 13. For you, brethren, you were called for freedom, Only use not your freedom for an occasion to the flesh, but through love be servants one to another. And that thought of servants is a broad scope of what takes place. And it really kind of deals with what Paul had talked about earlier that we had mentioned in Romans 15, verse 14. That's the admonishing that takes place. And we do that, and we don't really serve one another properly. We really don't do servitude to one another properly if we don't care about the souls of others. When we care about the souls of others, we have one another's back. How do we protect one another? By bearing one another's burdens. Over in Ephesians, the fourth chapter, verse 1 through 3. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling wherewith you were called, with all lowliness and meekness and longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, giving diligence to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. And that is the bearing with one another in connection with peace. That we do that. We bear one another up in connection with all of these things that is mentioned, that are mentioned here in Ephesians 4, verse 1 through 3, that it is the walk that is worthy of the Lord. That we walk in accordance to His will. The very purpose for which we were called. And it is with the proper attitude, the lowliness and the meekness and the long-suffering and the forbearing one another. The forgiving one another goes along with it also at times. Ephesians 4 and verse 32. Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, even as God also in Christ forgave you. When we think about that last part there in verse 32, of how much we have been forgiven individually, why would we not forgive others also? As children of God, we're not to be thinking from the standpoint of we've been wronged. When someone does do us wrong, is the way that we usually think about it, well then, what is our reaction? Is it going to be out of love that we deal with that individual and that situation? Or is it going to be out of revenge? Do we seek to make peace? Do we seek to make harmony? Or do we seek to make an enemy? And when we're children of God and we're looking at others to help us in the covering of our backs spiritually, what Paul is talking about here in Ephesians 4 and verse 32 is that forgiveness comes into play. And I'll tell you, I think that if we're honest with ourselves and we think about how much that we have been forgiven, why would we not pass that on? Why would we not pass that on? And then edifying one another. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 11, we exhort one another and build each other up, even as also you do. He's talking there about those of Thessalonica. And that they were interested in the spiritual growth of each other and in the spiritual benefit to the fullest extent that they could possibly have. Not about the tearing down of others, but rather in having their backs, each other's backs, they were looking at building up one another to make sure that they understood that their backs were covered. Your back is covered. You're covering my back. And that from the standpoint of love. And then carrying one another. Galatians 6 and verse 2. Bear you one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. I'll tell you, if we think that we can make it to heaven on our own, just on our own, I don't need to rely on anybody. I don't need any teaching from anyone. I don't need any exhortation from anyone, any correction from anyone. I can just make it on my own. We're fooling ourselves. And that's the reason for the family aspect of the church, of the called out body, where we have the family of God, and then we have brothers and sisters in Christ that we can lean on and that we can support, get our support from, and that we can cover one another's backs. And that's exactly what we need to realize and recognize, that we're not enemies. We're not in it just for ourselves, but we're in it for each other also. And that's what Paul presents there. And then, of course, loving one another. In 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 9, but concerning love of the brethren, you have no need that one write unto you. For you yourselves are taught of God to love one another. You know, you think back to the Old Testament, and there was the teaching of love one another in the Old Testament. But the main focus was a prohibition in the Old Testament concerning idolatry. And you see it over and over again. As a matter of fact, it's contained in the very first part. of the giving of the Ten Commandments, the preamble, so to speak, of the Mosaic Law. With the exception of about two or three words, Jack, the second most point that the law addresses is not the Sabbath, but the second most is idolatry. When we look over the New Testament, it's not about idolatry. We have that teaching, just as he said here, that I have no need that anyone write to you about idolatry. That's not it, but about love. And you look at this and you see over and over and over and over again this standpoint of love, not infatuation, not a love that turns its back on someone else or hides its eyes from sin that's taking place, but the true love that comes from God. And that is seen over and over again in this new covenant, in this new testament, in which we deal with one another and cover one another's backs. You know, you think about this, God has given to us all things that we need to be pleasing to Him. Not one thing is left out. To the inspired writers was given His divine power, has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. 2 Peter 1, beginning in verse 3. Not one thing left out. All the sufficiency is there in order for us not only to do the Lord's will, but also to cover one another's backs. And then He says, through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which you have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world. God has given this to each and every one of us, and in each and every one of us sharing with one another, in essence, we're covering one another's back. And this comes about because God has given us this means of protection. When we look over in Ephesians 6 and verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. He doesn't want us to be vulnerable in any part whatsoever of our spiritual life. And by His providence, He protects us. Think about that from 1 Corinthians the 10th chapter and verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it by the providence of God. And us being known so well by Him, better than we know ourselves, as we mentioned this morning. He knows what we can withstand. And you think about the things that come upon people today. And you think about the diseases and the conditions and the finances and all the problems that come upon people today. With the children of God, if we find in ourselves that we have some health issue, if we find that we have some other issue in life, when we look at 1 Corinthians 10 chapter and verse 13, we can look at that as the providence of God at work and Him saying, if you could not overtake this, if you could not withstand this, if you could not overcome this, I would not have allowed that to take place upon you. But I have confidence in you. You know, I have sat at bedside of several that have passed from this life. And several of them were gospel preachers. And I've held their hands and I've talked with them and visited with them. And I've been asked to officiate at their funerals from time to time. And one thing that struck me whenever there were those that were passing from their life that have confidence in God is not only the example that they set forth in the life that they lived, preaching the gospel, being a very good person here upon this earth, but they also taught me how to die when my time comes. And that's the way that we should be, because of the providence and the protection that God has given to us, of the frontal attack and also from the attack from behind, knowing that we are fully protected by our Lord. He has our backs. 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, verse 8 and 9, we are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed, Paul says. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. You think about this, and a little bit later on in the 11th chapter, beginning in verse 22, Paul talks about all the things that beset him for the cause of Christ. Five times received I 40 stripes, save one. I was a night and a day in the deep. Three times I was shipwrecked. And keep going through the list that was there. Paul, how did you keep doing that? How was it that you just didn't give up? He knew where his protection came from. We are hard pressed on every side, he says, yet not crushed. We're perplexed. Sure, there's worry in that, but not in despair, so that it debilitates us spiritually. Persecuted, but we know we're not forsaken. Our God is there. Struck down, just as they thought Christ Jesus was struck down, and then 3 days later he rose from the dead. No, not struck down, but really exalted in the eyes of the Lord. You see, he has our backs, and all of it is qualified by this. When we look in Colossians, the first chapter, verse 23, if indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. The reason that he was able to say those things in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 8 and 9 was because he was remaining true to God's word. And we can do the same. And when we do the same, we are totally protected by God. Our frontal is protected by the armor that he gave. Our backs are protected by him and by our brethren. When we think about these things, what's the point? What's the point to this lesson? Well, the point to this lesson is to give us confidence in Christ Jesus. We are not alone. We're not alone. In a vision we can see in a way as we walk in this life, the hills and the valleys are covered with the chariots of fire of God. And we know that He is there for us. Maybe you're going through some things in your life right now where you need that comfort, where you need that edification to understand what has come upon me. I can overcome because my God is with me. And if I couldn't overcome it, he wouldn't have put this upon me or allowed this to come upon me. Let me say that the right way. Maybe you just need prayers. And we're here to pray with you and for you. If there are those we can help in any way, we ask you to come as we stand and sing.